Welcome into Locked On Phillies. In today's episode, I'll tell you why I think we should be super encouraged by what we saw by the Philadelphia Phillies down in Atlanta in their four-game split with the Atlanta Braves and how it prepares them for a good opportunity against the New York Mets coming up tonight. All of that on today's episode of Locked On Phillies.
You are Locked On Phillies. Your daily Philadelphia Phillies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, this is Locked On Phillies. I'm Connor Thomas, your host. You've been hearing me talk Phillies baseball for years on the radio, 97.5 The Fanatic. TV, NBC Sports Philadelphia, and happy to be here with you as your host of Locked On Phillies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you so much for checking us out. Today's episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. A championship team is about each player being a perfect fit. Same thing with your vehicle. So for parts that fit, head to eBay Motors and look for the green check. Stay in the game with eBay Guaranteed Fit. ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. eBay Guaranteed Fit only available to U.S. customers. Eligible items only. Exclusions do apply. Now, the Phillies had themselves a productive Memorial Day weekend. Well, productive maybe might not be the way to put it, considering they went 500, and productive for this team right now would be to make strides to get over 500 and closer to the lead in the NL East, which is currently the Atlanta Braves. So technically not productive, but I was very encouraged by what I saw from the Philadelphia Phillies this weekend. We're going to start by running through what the Phillies did against the Atlanta Braves Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I know I already talked about their loss in game one, and that would be a tough ask the rest of the way to split with the Atlanta Braves. Well, after a rough game one, the Phillies came out in game two, and they had themselves a nice contest, winning 6-4 on Friday. A Nick Castellanos triple that I think flew like crazy. The ball was flying insanely well down there in Atlanta. So many home runs hit in that series. So many balls that looked like pop-outs that ended up hitting off the wall or going out were wild. But the Phillies got out to a 2-0 lead with Taijuan Walker on the mound. Walker didn't give up a run to the Braves until the bottom of the fourth. And he would give up a lead in the bottom of the fifth on a Michael Harris home run, two-run home run, to make it 3-2. But then the Phillies went ahead and poured it on the sixth and seventh. Brandon Marsh hit an RBI single to score, two RBI singles to score. Nick Castellanos and JT Romito make it 4-3. Trey Turner then hit a big RBI double to make it 5-3 in the seventh. Bryce Harper had a sacrifice fly in the seventh to score Trey Turner as well after he moved up to third. So it was 6-3. And then Craig Kimbrel comes in the last inning, and he was able to go ahead and get his save, which was save number 400 on the year. Could you imagine? Not even possible. Save number 400 on the career for Craig Kimbrel. He becomes only the eighth man ever to accomplish that. So great work. But the key to this one, the offense was nice. We know the offense has been good at points this year, though. And the bullpen was really good. Matt Strom just gave up a home run to Marcell Ozuna. But other than that, the bullpen was great. But the most encouraging thing, Taijuan Walker went 6 2/3. He only allowed 3 earned runs. He only walked one person. He only struck out one. He gave up 10 hits. It wasn't the most efficient performance. He was dancing out of danger a lot. But 6 2/3 innings, 3 earned is fine. We can get away with that from Taijuan Walker. That's the type of start we've been looking for all year from him. And the key is consistency. He's got to keep doing that every time he goes out. But the fact that he did it against an Atlanta Braves lineup that read Acuna, Olsen, Riley, Darnell, Ozuna, Rosario, Albies, Arcia, Michael Harris. I mean, that's a darn good lineup. And Taijuan Walker went out and he handled his business. So that was super encouraging to see in game two. And the Phillies get a win down there in Atlanta. Nice. The next day, the starting pitching also really encouraging. Zach Wheeler takes the mound. And the story of this game was Wheeler going 8 innings pitched, 3 hits, none earned, only walking one, striking out 12, and then Craig Kimbrel coming in for another save, his second in as many days, and only allowing one hit, one earned, two strikeouts. And, of course, the hit given up was Sean Murphy home run to left field in the bottom of the ninth, which would be the Atlanta Braves' only run of the game. But Zach Wheeler was unbelievable. It was the best start of the Philadelphia Phillies season so far by any pitcher. He was outstanding, and he was efficient. In those eight innings of work, he only threw 106 pitches. He got to, like, the seventh with, like, 80 pitches, and it was like, okay, this guy might have a chance to go complete game shutout. And of course, they didn't let him go for the ninth, and Kimbrel went ahead and closed it down despite giving up one run as a car alarm goes off. Sorry if you guys can hear that there, but this game started and ended with Zach Wheeler. Just to tell you what the Phillies did offensively, they were facing Charlie Morton, who went 5 1/3, 7 hits, 2 earned, 4 walks, so he was in rough shape, 9 Ks. Honestly, the Phillies probably should have had more runs on the board in this one, a couple of missed opportunities. But Bryson Stott hit a sacrifice fly to left field to score Brandon Marsh in the top of the fifth when the Phillies were threatening. And then Trey Turner in the top of the fifth hit an RBI double to score Cody Clemens. His second late type of RBI performance so far in the series through the first three games. That's encouraging to see from Turner. He wasn't good in this series, but he had a couple of moments where he came through with a clutch. He seems like he's starting to head in the right direction, even if the numbers won't show it. The feel for me watching Trey Turner is that he's getting a little bit more comfortable, but we'll see. And then the aforementioned Murphy home run happened in the bottom of the ninth off Craig Kimbrel. But this game ends 2-1. Philadelphia Phillies win another tight one. So the two games they won in the first three games of the series were by a combined 3 runs. But, hey, you'll take it. Winning tough, tight games on the road against good opponents is character building for teams. And I know a lot of people look at this Phillies team, me included, and say, well, they did all this last year, and they built this confidence last year when they made this run to the World Series, and though they can compete. Yeah, but there's still new pieces. You're trying to figure out how Trey Turner works. You're trying to figure out how some of the bullpen arms work, some of the starters work. I mean, you're trying to figure out what you're doing at first base. The Rhys Hoskins not here, who's a huge part of the mental makeup of this team. So they still have stuff they have to develop, the 2023 Phillies, that the 2022 Phillies may have already taken care of. But, yeah, the Phillies took care of business in the two games in the middle part of this series. Coming up, we're going to talk about a bit of the rough performance in the final game of the series, total takeaways from the four games in Atlanta, the standings, and then as we wrap up a little bit later on, we're going to get to a preview of this series with the New York Mets. All of that continuing as we continue today's episode of Locked On Phillies. Oh, and I want to tell you about my friends over at Built Bar. You guys know Built Bar. I know you're looking for a delicious snack, but you don't want all of the sugar and calories. Well, then you need the best tasting protein bar ever built. You got to try Built Bar. Of course, it's the best ever built. You get it? Yeah, if you're like me and you want to make healthier snack choices, you don't want to be crushing a bunch of potato chips, but you don't want to compromise on taste. You want something that still tastes like you're eating a candy bar. Well, you got to go ahead and check out Built Bar. They're healthy. They taste amazing. And they've got some great, great flavors you need to try. First of all, they're covered in 100% real dark chocolate. It's like, that's right, real chocolate. And some of the flavors, churro, peanut butter brownie, cookies and cream. I mean, you don't get that in a normal protein bar. Normal protein bars, I don't know, might just be, oh, just chocolate or, oh, strawberry. No, they've got like actual gourmet sounding, gourmet tasting flavors. I'm not sure how they do it either, but listen to this. They're only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 17 grams of protein. The numbers are insane for how good these taste. And now you don't need to wait to get a box. For years, we've been talking about ordering Built Bars online at Built.com, but now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. And you could still get your specialty flavors at Built.com. So go ahead and check that out. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart today. Walk to the pharmacy section and grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream bars, double chocolate bars, or coconut puffs. And if you're close to Sam's Club, run in and grab a 13-bar box with hit flavors like brownie batter puff and churro puff. And you can come and thank me later. Go ahead and check out Built Bar, the great snack that you should be using to help you stay in great shape this summer. All right, let's talk about the final game of the series with the Atlanta Braves. It was an 11-4 loss, and Spencer Strider was darn good in this one for Atlanta. He took the mound, and he threw 6 innings of 2-hit ball, 2 earned, 1 walk, struck out 9, had his 100th strikeout of the season already. He was incredible. The Phillies were able to get some runs off of him, on a Brandon Marsh home run to center field, which actually, if you watch the broadcast, is a pretty cool view. They had the it was Sunday Night Baseball, obviously. So they had the home plate umpire cam going, and you got to see Brandon Marsh's home run from behind home plate, which was super cool, like super close up. So that was nice to see. What wasn't super cool was that that came in the third inning. And in the third inning, the Phillies had already given up seven runs. The Phillies gave up seven in the bottom of the first. Dylan Covey gave up six hits, five earned in the first inning. And then it was just a really, really bad finish from there. I mean, seven runs before you even get your second at-bats of the game is terrible. Matt Olson had a two-run home run to start it off. Austin Riley then homered. Ozzy Albies hit a two RBI single. Ronald Acuna Jr. hit a two RBI single. 7-0 in the first. That game's over. I don't think many people watch past the first inning once you see that 7-0. But Brandon Marsh hitting a home run off Spencer Strider. Okay, that's encouraging. Showing his development as a hitter to go yard off of one of the best pitchers in baseball this year. Cool. Ronald Acuna Jr. had a triple in the bottom of the fifth. Makes it 8-2. Matt Olson, another home run, his second of the game. Make it 10-2 in the bottom of the fifth. Kyle Schwarber hit a home run in the top of the seventh. He went ahead and did that off the bullpen arm that Atlanta had brought in off of McHugh. Kyle McHugh came in this one, so it wasn't off Strider, but we'll still take it to go ahead and see Schwarber continue to hit home runs. And then Austin Riley, an RBI single in the bottom of the seventh to make it 11-4. Nothing went well for the Philadelphia Phillies in this game. Connor Brogdon was really bad in relief. Dylan Covey was really bad starting. It wasn't a remotely encouraging performance, and the Philadelphia Phillies are still left trying to figure out what to do with their fifth starter spot. I mean, to me, it needs to be Matt Strom. Strom needs to be the guy, take him out of the bullpen, put him back in the rotation. He's your most trustworthy option at this point. Or call up Griff McGarry, or call up, Mick Abel. Andrew Painter, obviously not available yet, but I need to see something different at the fifth starter spot, and that's the biggest question plaguing the Phillies right now. It's why I left more time to talk about this final game, because it opens up with a question that we've been having all year. Now, this is not a fault of the Philadelphia Phillies, I don't think. Dylan Covey, when they brought him in, his last opportunity to pitch was Matt Strom pitched first, and then Covey came in after, and Covey pitched really well. The Phillies had to be encouraged by that, so they said, okay, we'll go ahead and give him a start. The start didn't go well. They're trying things. I mean, they signed him for basically nothing. Went ahead and brought him in. You're not really risking too much. They lost one game. I know it's a divisional game in Atlanta, but it was Spencer Strider. You're probably going to lose this game anyway. I know that sounds like a defeatist attitude, but Strider's that good. It's going to be a tough game to win, even if you have a great starting pitching performance. So to have Covey out there to try him starting again, fine. Or for, I guess, for the first time, but try and basically in a starter's role, long form innings. Didn't work out. Now you're back to the drawing board. So I don't fault the Phillies for trying Covey after his last outing, but it's time to do something different. If he touches the ball again for the Philadelphia Phillies, that's when this becomes a disservice to the fan base. I'm going Strom. Or you could try and call up Mick Abel. You could try and call up Griff McGarry. One of those guys got to be something. They're top pitching prospects in your organization. I think it's about time to go ahead and take the kid gloves off and say, hey, we're hurting at the major league level. Andrew Painter's not ready. Need one of you guys to step up for us. Here's your opportunity, kid. Go get it. It would be against the Nationals, considering that the Covey started the final game of the Braves series. So these three games coming up against the Mets that we're going to talk about would be all normal starting pitchers. And then having your first start on the road, not great, but on the road in Washington against a Nationals team that's not all that good is not a bad situation. So you could see a call up and go ahead and get that squared away with the fifth starter spot, or it could just be Matt Strom, which I'd be cool with. He's been good enough this year to have earned that. I don't know how they attack it. I just know they have to attack it differently. And this all filters into Bailey Falter not being good this year and Andrew Painter being injured and not having minor league arms that you trust to come up yet, which I find slightly interesting considering how well-rated Mick Abel and Griff McGarry and Andrew Painter have been. Andrew Painter, obviously not available. But, like, they've developed arms. Just call them up, right? Well, I don't know if they're waiting for the right time and don't want to break guys' confidence by calling them up to a rough situation. If they'd rather have a guy that's pitched at the major league level before that they can sign. All kinds of stuff factors in. But the fifth starter, to me, there are three options. Abel, McGarry, and Matt Strom. No Christopher Sanchez, no other signing, no Dylan Covey, no Bailey Falter. No, none of that. Go ahead and take care of business with some of those options that I gave you. Anything else I think would be dumb on the Phillies' part. I don't see how they don't see that themselves. And this is not me saying they've made a mistake to this point. I don't think they have. I think they gave Covey his just opportunity, and he clearly showed you he wasn't capable of it. So, hey, you move on. But if you trot that out there again, that's losing baseball. Can't do that. Can't afford that. Score four runs off of Spencer Strider in a strong Atlanta bullpen. You should be closer than in a, what's that, 6-7-run game? No, that's unacceptable. And you can't have that against Atlanta, whatever that happens. They're a really good team. But you can't go out and have that performance against, like, Washington and cause yourself a chance of sweeping a bad team or some bad teams in bad stretches because the Phillies need all the gettable wins they can get. I didn't see Sunday as a gettable win anyway, so I'm not losing too much sleep over it. But it very clearly exposed that the Phillies still have a problem with the fifth starting spot. Outside of that, the lineup's starting to look better. They figured out the defensive rotations. It'll get better once Bryce Harper can play first base. But until then, okay, you feel relatively comfortable with what the Phillies trot out there lineup-wise. The bullpen, we've trusted them very well. Craig Kimbrel proved again in this Atlanta series with two big saves that he can rise to the occasion still, even for saves 400 and 401 on his career. So nice to see him get that milestone. Also nice to see him pitching really well. A lot of other arms in the bullpen look great. Over the time, Connor Brogdon might have to go down to AAA. Might have to bring someone else up. Maybe, I don't know, bring Bailey Falter up and work him out of the pen a little bit so he can see some major league batters. I don't know how they want to handle that, but hopefully Jose Alvarado will also be back soon. He had a little bit of a setback recently with some stiffness during his throwing program, so who knows when he comes back. But my point is the lineup, encouraging. The bullpen, encouraging. You got that figured out. The defense was better in the series. Not great, but better in this series. And the starters, I mean, Wheeler looked great. Walker looked great. Nola has shown flashes of points this year. Needs to be more consistent. And you're looking at a situation where Ranger Suarez gets a chance again tonight against the Mets. Oh, by the way, I haven't told you yet. The Phillies play the Mets tonight at 7:10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can go ahead and hear every pitch of the Phillies Hometown Radio broadcast on the SiriusXM app. Just go to the SXM app and search Phillies, and you'll be able to pull that up. But yes, Ranger Suarez gets a chance tonight. So I feel good about a lot of parts of this team. They just have to be more consistent and put that all together, and then you'll be able to have more winning baseball. And they've got a great opportunity against the Mets. Turning now from the Braves series to the Mets, just looking at the standings after that. The Phillies, they're now 25-28, 6.5 games back on the Braves, same as they were when they came in. But they're closer up to the Mets and the Marlins. Mets 27-27. Marlins in second place in the NL East, 28-26. So Phillies only a game and a half back on the Mets. They can jump the Mets in the division in this series if they go ahead and take three. If they take two of three, still, you're making up ground on the New York Mets. You'll only be a half game back on them. And the first opportunity for that, again, is tonight, 7:10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can hear every pitch, again, of the Phillies Hometown Radio broadcast on the SiriusXM app. Just go to the SXM app and search Phillies and get that all squared away. So that will be a fun listen if you got the SiriusXM app. If you don't, I don't know what you're waiting for. Go ahead and get that. But, yeah, an opportunity. Ranger Suarez versus one of the most interesting new pitchers in baseball. We'll break it all down coming up next as we wrap up today's episode of Locked On Phillies. All right, let's jump into it. Phillies, Mets, three games up at Citi Field up there in Queens. So you're looking at a situation where the Phillies, more NL East opportunity. And tonight, Ranger Suarez takes the mound. So he's 0-1 with a 9.82 ERA, not good. A 2 whip, not good. In 11 innings pitched, small sample size. 17 hits in those 11 innings, not good. 13 Ks in those 11 innings, not bad. 5 walks, terrible. A home run allowed, okay. You look at those numbers and you say it's been a rough start for Suarez, but the strikeouts is encouraging. The stuff still kind of looks like it's there. He just doesn't have a feel for it yet. It's hard. It's like jumping onto a moving treadmill. He jumped in middle of the season after having that forearm tightness, and he's going through some struggles. Maybe this is the get-right game for Ranger Suarez finally, but he's still perfectly capable of doing that, so I haven't lost faith in him yet. Just looking at it, though, I mean, you see a guy who is struggling, and you can clearly point to the reasons why. Command isn't great, and feel for his pitches hasn't been all that great since he's come back. Now, he's facing Kodai Senga, who, of course, came over from Japan, signed by the New York Mets this offseason, has a 4-3 record, a 3.94 ERA. He's been really, really good. A 1.52 whip, 48 innings pitched, 42 hits given up, 61 Ks, a lot of strikeouts, 31 walks, 6 home runs. So he has gotten beaten by the long ball a little bit. But Senga's been super good. And he has that weird thing. I don't know if you've been following it around baseball, but he's brought a new pitch over that only he throws. I want to make sure I get it absolutely right. But it's the ghost forkball. The ghost forkball. And if you've seen him throw it, there's a reason why it's called the ghost forkball. This thing just disappears. You don't really often see a forkball, much less a ghost forkball. So he's got this pitch that's like supposed to be like unhittable or basically unhittable that he throws a bunch that's helped him through those 61 strikeouts. He's been really good for the New York Mets. They have to be pleased with their signing there. But he is 4-3. I mean, he's given up almost 4 runs through every 9 innings with that 3.94 ERA. So it's not like he's unstoppable, unhittable. It's just a tough pitcher the Philadelphia Phillies face tonight. You look at the leaders for both teams. Kyle Schwarber, who's been hitting a lot of home runs lately, he's got 13 on the year. Pete Alonso has 20. Pete Alonso has been super good for the Mets to start. So he's the big guy you have to avoid. Brandon Nimmo's batting 306. Nick Castellanos batting 300. So comparable there. The Mets lineup's pretty darn good. And then Alonso, 46 RBIs, Bohm, 37 RBIs. I mean, the Mets offense, when Alonso's going well, is super dangerous. So that's a guy Ranger Suarez is going to have to avoid. He's their big bopper, but the rest of the lineup, I mean, has been pretty good for the New York Mets. It's the usual cast of characters over there. When it comes to the names, I mean, you recognize them, Lindor, Nimmo, Alonso, McNeil, Marte, Cana. They've got Cana, however you want to say that. Vogelbach's still there. Tommy Pham's still there. They got a bunch of guys that you'll remember. It's a typical Phillies-Mets lineup. And you've got not that we have the lineup yet, but a Phillies-Mets series, and the names are going to be the same. They'll play tonight at 7:10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, you can hear every pitch of that game, the Phillies home radio broadcast of that game on the SiriusXM app. Just go to the SXM app and search Phillies. They'll also play tomorrow at 7:10. That pitching matchup will be Nola against Carrasco. Phillies slightly favored in that one. And then, first game of June, you're going to go ahead and get Taijuan Walker against Max Scherzer. A little bit of a mismatch there. So, yes, the way the Phillies want to get it done, win tonight, win tomorrow night, have the series locked up before you go ahead and have to face Scherzer. That is the key. So, there you have it. The key to the Phillies series against the New York Mets. We're going to dive deeper into, of course, the next couple games in tomorrow's episode. But, yeah. I was super encouraged with the Philadelphia Phillies split with the Atlanta Braves because it shows they can compete with the top-level competition in their division, in their league, in baseball in general. And now you have an opportunity to have a very productive NL East road trip if you take care of business against the Mets, who are 500, and the Nationals, who are below 500. So good opportunities for the Phillies. We will talk to you about it more on tomorrow's episode of Locked On Phillies. That's all for today's episode. Thank you so much for checking us out. Locked On Phillies is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Go ahead and rate and review wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to the YouTube when you get a chance to go ahead and do that. It gives you notifications and everything on when episodes are posted. Costs you nothing. Takes like 2 seconds. Helps me out substantially. So really appreciate it. And it makes your listening and viewing experience much better. So do all that in the meantime, and I will talk to you tomorrow on the next episode of Locked On Phillies.